Sandy and I have been enjoying our children and our grandchildren. Our son and his family came in last week. Our daughter and her family are here this week. And so I've got children's games on my mind. So let's play a game. How many of you know how to play I Spy? Not as many as I would think. Okay, I do. Okay, it's really pretty easy. I'll spy something, I'll describe it, and what you have to do, given this is a large group of people, and there can't be one winner, you have to point to the thing that I'm spying, and then say what it is. Okay? Okay, we'll start with something easy. I spy with my little eye something burning. Point first. This is a children's game. Point. And what do you see? Shabbat candles, right? Okay, something a little bit harder. I spy with my little eye something that says TikTok. Very good. People are putting their hands over their heads, pointing to the back of the room on the back wall where you normally don't look, but I get to, is a clock. Okay. I spy with my little eye something made from an animal's horn. Point to it. Where? You are pointing in confidence because you know Emma is sitting there and that she always brings her shofar. Right? Can you hold that up for us? There we go. A shofar. Okay. Okay, Rod has one. How many were pointing at Rod? Okay, a lot over here. We have one under the chair in the front. I think that was Michael Slodkins. Okay. Now, something a little bit harder. I spy with my little eye the Hebrew word for Messiah. Where? On the pulpit. That's not the one that I'm spying. I'm sorry. The Ark. Right over here. Mashiach. Okay. How many of you got all of those right? About six of you. You get to eat at the own egg. The rest of you can go home. Okay, we're going to play another game. This is called Remember Me. I try to name all my games if they don't have a common name. Earlier this week, I played Arithmetic You Bet. That's a favorite of ours. Another one was How Much Do You Know? And then the third game is called Rhyme Time. But we're going to play Remember Me. Okay, you need a partner for this, a person sitting next to you. So pair up. Pair up. You can't do this by yourself. You will need someone to play with. They can be sitting in front of you, behind you, but you need a partner. Okay, now, this is how you play Remember Me. You look at this person carefully who is your partner. Look at them. Size them up. Okay, now close your eyes, keep your eyes closed, and tell them the color of their hair. Okay, now open your eyes and look again, and were you right? How many of you were right? Yeah, most of you, that's real good. Okay, let's play again. Okay, look carefully at the person next to you. Look carefully. Now everyone close your eyes. Okay, with your eyes closed, answer this question. What is the color of their eyes? Tell them that. What is the color of their eyes? Okay, open your eyes now and check. Look again. Were you right? Were you right? How many of you were right? Raise your hand. Okay, you were doing pretty good. Okay, one more time. Remember me. Look carefully at the person next to you, your partner. Look carefully. Okay, now everyone close your eyes. Okay, now tell them what color shoes they're wearing. Oh! Open your eyes, look at their shoes. Were you right? How many of you were right this time? Smaller number, but still quite an impressive group. I like these two games, don't you? I can play these for hours. Want to? No. You know, I like games like this because they help me pay attention a little better. Were you ready for the shoes? You were? Some of you were ready. Vanessa's nodding her head. I was ready. You were looking at shoes, shirt, anything, belts. Right. How many of you know the color of belt that the person next to you? We're not going to keep playing that. Okay. I want to talk tonight about something really simple but very important. It's called paying attention. And we'll play a couple more games as we study the Bible together. Open your Bibles with me to the second book of the Torah. It's called Exodus. The Hebrew name is Shmot. Okay, pop quiz. What is the name of the second book of the Torah in English? Okay, you were doing pretty good. What is the Hebrew name of that book? Okay. Great. You were still on the hair. Well, let's keep going. Okay, chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. In Egypt, the king was called what? Pharaoh. That was his title, not his name. And this king, this Pharaoh, didn't know Joseph. Joseph had been prime minister in Egypt, but he was an Israelite, not an Egyptian. And God had shown Joseph that Egypt was going to have 7 years of plenty at harvest time, and then 7 years of famine. And God had used Joseph to prepare Egypt to store up food for the 7 years of famine. And because of Joseph, Egypt had enough food during the famine. You know, it's important to remember people who help us. And it's important not to forget them when we think we no longer need them. But after Joseph died, many years had passed, and this Pharaoh did not remember Joseph. He didn't pay attention to what Joseph had done for Egypt. He did not remember how the Pharaoh of Egypt earlier had blessed Joseph and all his family, and how all of the brothers and Joseph's father had moved down from the land of Canaan. And because Pharaoh forgot, because he didn't remember, because he didn't pay attention to what Joseph had done, and because he was afraid of the children of Israel because they were growing in number, this new Pharaoh hated the Jews and he made them slaves. Okay, pop quiz. Who was the Jewish man that Pharaoh did not remember? You guys are doing quite well today. I think you're all going to get lollipops. Or be able to eat at the Oneg. One or the other. So our ancestors became slaves because this Pharaoh did not pay attention and he didn't remember Joseph. Now Pharaoh hated the Hebrews so much that he ordered the midwives. How many of you know what a midwife is? That's good. Then I don't have to explain. And if you don't know, ask one of those people who raised their hand. He ordered the Egyptian midwives to throw the Hebrew newborn baby boys into the river. But they wouldn't do it. And there was one reason they wouldn't do it. They feared God. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. Now turn to chapter 2 of Exodus. Let's read verse 2. I'll believe and read verse 1. A man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. This is a little like Jewish cleverness here. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages." So now Moses' mom is getting paid to nurse her, him. Jewish business minds. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And so she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." So this one Jewish woman had her baby. She had been pregnant by her husband, the Levite. She was also a Levite. She gave birth to a son, and she looked at him, and she saw he was beautiful. In the Hebrew, it says she saw that he was good, tov. And that goodness had many, many different qualities about him. But she knew he was special. There was something about him that she needed to protect. And so she hid him for 3 months. She put him in the basket when she couldn't hide him anymore. And then Pharaoh's daughter found the baby boy and knew he was a Hebrew baby. And she had compassion on him. And she protected him. And she called him what? No, she didn't call him Moses because she wasn't speaking English. What did she call him? Moshe. Because she knew he was a Hebrew boy and he had been found in the water. Okay, pop quiz. Who found Moshe in the basket in the river? You guys are doing quite well. Okay, double portion at Oneg. So Moses' parents knew that he was special. And Pharaoh's daughter knew that he was special. And there's a reason. They were paying attention to him. When they looked at him, they noticed something about him. And because of that, Moses survived. He grew up and he became a leader eventually of the children of Israel because other people paid attention. They paid attention to him and they paid attention to what God wanted to do through him. Now, when he was older, Moses was far away from Egypt. He was in the desert in the Sinai Peninsula, and he was up on a mountain taking care of his flock, and he noticed a burning bush. Do you know what was unusual about that burning bush? It burned, but it wasn't consumed. And he saw it, and he went closer to it. And it's only when he went closer that the Lord then spoke to him. You see, the Lord used that burning bush to catch Moses' attention. And when the Lord spoke to Moses, he said, "Go back to Egypt and rescue the children of Israel from slavery. Take them out to worship me and bring them back to this very mountain." And Moses did all those things. And he paid attention to what he saw when he noticed the burning bush. And he paid attention to what he heard when the Lord spoke to him, and he did exactly what God asked him to do. Now, sometimes we may notice something, and it turns out to be very important what we noticed and that we noticed. And I think, Brian, your word to us tonight at the end of worship is tied into that. We're going to be like moving in a direction, trying to move at our pace. And God's ready to move us faster and further than we would want to. And we can be using all of our strength to hold ourselves steady when God's trying to go further and faster than we are. Or we can do, as you said, just jump. And if you've ever been in the current, you know that when the current is strong and you lift your feet up, it just pulls you further than you could ever have imagined. And so when we notice something, the Lord wants us to draw close and to pay attention to what we notice, because when we pay attention, that's when God may speak to our hearts. Moses only heard from the Lord when he paid attention to this curious burning bush. He didn't have some spiritual experience prior to that moment. He just saw something strange. And it may be you will see something strange, or you may see someone strange, or you may be in an unusual situation, and the Lord is trying to get your attention, and if you will only do one thing, give him your attention, then he might just speak to you. So, pay attention to what you see. Pay attention to what you hear, because when you pay attention, God is able to use you. Sometimes you'll notice a person who needs help, and you'll have a desire to help them. How many of you have had that kind of experience? You'll see someone in need, and what rises up in you, it's like an immediate response, is a desire to help them. And in fact, you may be the only person at that moment who can help them. And many times God speaks to our hearts this way. He enables us to see someone in need or to see a situation. And if we simply pay attention, then he can speak to our hearts. And if we say, I see this person, I want to help that person, then the Lord can say, you can help. And it may simply be a desire that comes into you that becomes strong enough that you know what to do. It may be an idea that comes to you about how you might help that person. There are many different ways that God can speak to you. But the important thing is, you've got to pay attention to what you see. And if you don't pay attention, you may not be able to be used. I remember once I was driving home from work in Roanoke, Virginia, and I drove past a guy who sort of looked like a homeless bum, with gray hair and not very good clothes on. And as I was driving past him, I felt the Lord was trying to speak to me. I had like this desire, it was a strange desire, which was to stop and give this man $20. And I thought, no. So one part of my heart wanted to do this, and another part of my heart, the one that was directly connected to my wallet, didn't want to do this. And so the part that was connected to my wallet said, drive on, young man, drive on. And I drove on, but the other part of me was feeling bad and wanted to stop. And I couldn't really explain it to myself. And so inside of my, you know, my soul was this argument and this tension. And finally, I mean, I kept driving, but finally I decided I'm going to go back and I'm going to give this man this money, because I'm beginning to feel like disgusted with myself that I wouldn't do it. And so I turned around, I drove back to where I'd seen the guy, and he wasn't there. He was gone. Now, I'd heard many people speak about God being a God of second chances. How many of you have heard of that? And so, at that moment, I said to the Lord, I was praying, Lord, I'm ready to give this man that money now. And he said, uh-uh, not now. I told you to do it earlier and you wouldn't do it. No second chance. And I didn't like that, because my rule for God is that he would always give me a second chance. How many of you have that rule for God? That when you're ready, God will always be ready for you. So I had that rule, and God was not playing by my rules. It was quite disturbing. I drove around in circles trying to outwit God at that moment. Yeah, I'm going to find this man. I'm going to give him the money anyway. I couldn't find him. And at that moment, I learned a terrible lesson, which is, don't wait until you're disgusted with yourself to act. Avoid that by acting quickly. And there have been times when I've allowed myself to get disgusted, and I've done it again, and there hasn't been a second chance. And for me, that's been like something I learn about God, that when I get to that point of self-disgust, you know, like, I should have done it, that's too late. And I shouldn't go that far. And that's why I've learned it's important when I'm seeing somebody or I'm noticing somebody where I'm noticing something, I need to act on it as quickly as I can, if I'm able to act on it. There are times when I'm with a person and I have this thought, I should pray for them right now. And I know if I don't pray for them right now, I'm never going to pray for them. I will go away from them and I will get busy and get distracted. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? And so at moments like that, I have to stop myself and say, I'm going to pray right now because it's the only chance that I have. When you start paying attention to God, then He can use you in a different way. And many times, it's so important to pay attention to what's going on inside of your heart. There are good desires that God will put in your heart, and if you pay attention to those, you'll become stronger, and your heart will become more pure. And it's also important to pay attention to what tempts you to do something that is not good. Now, you pay attention to those things so you can go away from the temptations. You may be tempted to lie. You may be tempted to steal. You may be tempted to speak to someone in a mean way, in an unkind way. You may be tempted to do something wrong. And when you resist those temptations, your heart gets even more strong and your heart gets more pure. And I think it's also important to pay attention with your eyes and pay attention with your ears as well. Your eyes and your ears as well. And one thing that I've learned is reading the Bible is an important way to pay attention with your eyes, to pay attention to God. Because when you're reading the Word of God, something can happen to you. You can become aware of the will of God, what He desires. You can become aware of something that really touches you. And so with your eyes, you're paying attention to God and to His will. And there's another way. It's similar, and that is to listen to the Bible when other people are reading it, when I'm reading it to you or when others are reading it to you. And when you listen, you pay attention with your ears. And you can hear things that God can use to instruct you. You can hear things about His will, what He desires. And you begin to become more trained in paying attention to the Lord with your eyes, with your ears. And that makes your heart much stronger. Now, I think of Moses as a really good example for us because his parents paid attention and he paid attention. And I've noticed something. God uses family to help us grow up and to help us grow stronger. This is the time of the year when we read from the Torah about Moses' birth and how he grew up and how he became a leader of the children of Israel. He became Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher. And it's also the time of the year when we read about Yeshua's birth and how he grew up and how he became a leader of the children of Israel. And he became Messiah of Israel. But every time when I'm thinking about these two, Moses and Yeshua, and I think about them as little children, it makes me think about this old man who lived in Jerusalem. And I talk about him periodically, and recently I've talked about him. But his name is Shimon, or Simeon. Okay, pop quiz. What's his name in Hebrew? That's right. In English? Simeon. And one day, Shimon felt something in his heart. And he felt the Lord wanted him to go to the temple in Jerusalem. He had like this stirring inside of him that said, you need to go there and go there now. And so he went, and while he was in the temple, he was looking around. And, you know, normally in the temple there would be thousands and thousands of people gathered. And he noticed a Jewish man and a woman with a little baby boy. And they were the ones who the Lord wanted him to notice. Of all the people that were in the temple, these three the Lord drew his attention to. And you may one day be in a situation like that, where you can't really explain it, but you've had like this need to go somewhere, and when you're there, you're looking around, and you see someone, and you pay attention to them, and then the Lord begins to open up to you what you ought to do. Well, these were the ones that the Lord wanted him to notice, and he went closer to them, just like Moses went closer to the burning bush. And that's when the Lord reminded Shimon of a prophecy that was written in the book of Isaiah about the Messiah. And the Lord put something more in Shimon's heart. He gave him this desire to hold the baby. Now, you know, I don't know how things were back then, but I know how things are now. And if some stranger were to come up to you and to say, "Can I hold your baby?" you might have a funny response, right? And especially if you were old and you didn't look so good. It's not clear how Shimon looked at that moment. Maybe he was in a hurry and hadn't gotten dressed properly. I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. But it does say that he wanted to hold the baby. And he took the little baby boy, who was just 30 days old, this baby, and he held him in his arms, and he looked at him, and he started blessing God. And he started thanking God for this child. And he said in Hebrew something like this in English: "I'm so happy my eyes have seen Yeshua, your Yeshua." And he went on and he started speaking about things that he had read in Isaiah in his prophecies about Messiah. And he said, "This one's a light who will bring revelation of God to the Gentiles, and he's the glory of God's people Israel." And the boy's parents were amazed because their baby's name was Yeshua. But Yeshua is also the normal Hebrew name for salvation. And so when Shimon is like holding this little baby, he's saying, "Wow, Lord, my eyes have seen your Yeshua. My eyes have seen your salvation." He didn't know the boy's name, but his parents were amazed because they knew their son's name. And Miriam, Mary in English, had heard an angel tell her that she should name this boy Yeshua because he will save his people. And what does Yeshua mean? Salvation. And so his name, Yeshua, was salvation. In the morning when they called him, they said, "Salvation." When his friends wanted to play with him, "Hey, salvation." And here's Shimon, looking at him when he's just 30 days old, says, "I am so glad because, God, I've seen your salvation, your Yeshua." And you see, the Lord had told Shimon a long time ago that he would see Messiah with his own eyes, that he would see Messiah. And that day in the temple, when he saw this little boy, Shimon knew who he was. It's just like, I think, Moses' parents, when they saw him, they said, "This boy is special. There's something about him that's special. He is going to do something for God, for his people, and our lives need to be given to him." Shimon looked at him, he knew just who he was. He was Yeshua, the Messiah. 30 days old, he recognized. How could he do that? You know the answer? Shimon was paying attention. He was paying attention. He paid attention to God by listening. When he was at home and there was this thing like stirring in his heart saying, "Go to the temple," what if he had said, "Not today"? What if he had said, "I went last night"? What if he had said, "I already was there this morning. Why should I go back?" What if he had said anything that would have kept him from going? You know what? He would have missed the whole thing. Because that was a special moment, Pidyon HaBen, the dedication of the firstborn son. It takes place on the 30th day. It happens, it's a short ceremony, and then it's over. Had Shimon not been there exactly at that time, he would have missed everything. And he could have spent the rest of his days discontent. And when people are discontent, normally they're discontent towards God. God, why didn't you? Rather than, I guess I missed it. But even to be discontent and disappointed with yourself, even to be disgusted with yourself, is not a good condition. It is far better to be satisfied, to have heard from God in any way He can speak to you, and then to have done what He said, and then receive whatever it is He's trying to give to you. So Shimon was paying attention. He paid attention to God by listening. He paid attention to God by watching, because when he got to that temple, he had to look around. Okay, I'm here. Now what? Everything looks normal. Oh, they're doing this, they're doing that. He'd seen many Pidyon HaBen, many redemptions of the firstborn. They probably happened every day. But he was watching, and when he was watching, his ears were open to whatever the Lord wanted to show him. And then he paid attention to God by obeying. It's so important not just to hear, not just to see, but to do whatever it is. And when he picked up that little child, he was doing something. He was expressing his absolute confidence in his awareness of who it was that was in front of him. And he said about this 30-day-old baby, this is Messiah. And he called him the consolation of Israel. Now, what Shimon did was so important to Yeshua's parents that they never forgot it. And they told the story to Yeshua as he grew up, and he remembered this story. Now, he was 30 days old. What do you think his memory was of that normally? Wouldn't remember it. How many of you remember what happened to you on your 30th day? Most of us just remember, wow, wow, wow. But he remembered this story because he had been told this story by his parents who were there. And it was so precious to them what had happened that they hid the story in their heart. And then they told the story to Yeshua. And I think it's just like Moses' parents and how they told him about what happened to him when he was young. Moses wrote Torah, and he had some knowledge of what had happened to him because his parents had told him. And these details were very precious. Now, in fact, Yeshua told his disciples, they didn't forget either. One of them, Luke, wrote down the whole story of Shimon. It's in the second chapter of Luke's gospel. You can read about it there. And it's there so that every generation would know about Shimon and what had happened and how he saw Yeshua. Moses was special when he was born, and his parents paid attention. Yeshua was special when he was born. His parents paid attention. And both of them are important to the Jewish people today. They're still important. That's why we learn about them. That's why we remember the stories of their lives. God used Moses to rescue the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and God used his own son, Yeshua, to rescue the Jewish people from sin. Now, tonight, we're going to celebrate the new covenant with Seudat HaMashiach. Say that with me. Seudat HaMashiach. Seudat is the Hebrew word for meal, and HaMashiach is the Hebrew word for the Messiah. So Seudat HaMashiach is the meal of Messiah. Now, every time we eat matzah this way and we drink grape juice this way, we remember the new covenant of Yeshua. And this is a time for the Lord to minister to you. You're not ministering to Him at this moment. You've been worshiping Him, but now He's going to minister to you. And there are some ways that He'll minister. He'll minister forgiveness to you for sins that you've committed. He'll minister His healing to you. Some of you have experienced this during our celebration of the New Covenant, and you have received physical healings during this time. And God will minister to you encouragement. He'll minister to you hope and faith and love. Now, what we need to do is make ourselves ready. And we do that by paying attention to our own hearts. We confess our sin to God, and we forgive those who have sinned against us. Yeshua said, Forgive as you have been forgiven. And we set our hearts towards God. This is a time also to decide to really pay attention to God and what pleases Him. Now, there's this beautiful verse in Isaiah 6:10. It tells us how important all of this is for our relationship with God. And I'm just going to give my own translation for it to put it into positive terms. It says that we will have trouble when, number one, our hearts don't feel. Can you say that? Our hearts don't feel. And when our ears don't listen carefully. Can you say that? When our ears don't listen carefully. And when our eyes don't notice, say that with me, when our eyes don't notice what God wants us to pay attention to. And so what we need to do, Isaiah tells us, is to keep our eyes open to see what God wants to show us. And to keep our ears open to listen to what God wants us to hear. And then the prophet says, if our eyes are open to see, and our ears are open to hear, our hearts will understand how we can stay close to God, how we can turn away from sin, and God will heal us. Now, you can turn to God right now. It's simple. You start by thanking Him for sending His Son, Yeshua, into our world, and by inviting us into His world. And by thanking God for providing a sacrifice for our sins, for the death of Yeshua, and for His resurrection. And then there's one more thing to do. And that's to tell God you want to live for Him forever. And you want to love Him forever. Everyone who says this and says Yeshua is Adonai is welcome to eat and drink Seudat HaMashiach, this meal of Messiah. I want to ask Kevin and Wendy Hunger to come up and serve, and my wife Sandy and daughter Allison, will you all come up and serve us tonight? Each couple take a tray of cups and a tray of matzah. And if you want to partake of Seudat HaMashiach, come up now. Come up now and come up by rows. Come quickly. Form two lines. Be quick. Take a piece of matzah. Take a cup. Return to your seat. Don't eat or drink until we are all ready. When Shimon looked at that 30-day-old baby, he knew who he was. And he declared, this is the consolation of Israel. This is Mashiach. This is Messiah. And every time I read that story, it reminds me of an event much later in Yeshua's life. It's recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 27. Let me just read to you these few verses. It says, now Yeshua and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And so they answered, John, who immerses in water. But some say Elijah, and others say, you're one of the prophets. And then Yeshua said to his disciples, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah. That question, who do you say that I am? It's the most important question you'll ever have to answer. Before the year ends, I want to encourage everyone to open your eyes, to open your ears, so that God will give you understanding about Yeshua. It may only take a very simple prayer like this: God, I know you exist, and I want to know the truth about Yeshua. Please open my eyes and open my ears so that I can know him. Amen. That kind of simple prayer is a prayer that God loves to answer. I remember when I prayed like that, and I'll never forget when God answered me. It changed my life forever. The Bible teaches us when you seek God with all of your heart, you will find him. It's possible to seek God without all of the heart, and it's possible to miss him and not find him. But the Bible promises us something. If we'll seek him with all of our heart, if we're open enough to him to put our whole heart into it, he will respond to us. So that we can find him. Maybe there's something in your heart right now where you want to say yes to the Lord. Maybe there's something in your heart that you're aware of where you realize you haven't been saying yes to the Lord. The Bible teaches us if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge that we sin against you. And we confess our sin to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and you are just and righteous and that you do not only forgive us, but you cleanse us of our sin. And we're asking for that cleansing to work very deeply in our lives. We don't want to repeat in 2008 that those sins, Lord, that easily caused us to stumble in 2007. We want our hearts to be stronger, and we want our hearts to be more pure towards you. And we know, Lord, that strength and purity come from you. And that's why we look to you and remember the new covenant you made with us and for us. Lift up your matzah to the Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. In the name of Yeshua. Lord, we thank you that Yeshua came down from heaven and became the bread of God for us. And when he rose from the dead, he showed your great victory over death. Thank you that through him, you've conquered sin and death for us. Amen. Lift up your cup. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam b'rei pri ha'gafen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a cup of blood of the new covenant, and that you are the vine and we are branches, and that our whole life and all of our fruitfulness comes by our remaining in you. Thank you for what you have done for us, for the sacrifice you've made for our sins, and for the forgiveness that you so compassionately grant to us. We thank you for your Son, who rose from the dead, so that resurrection life would be working in us too. Amen. You can pass your cups into the center. Ushers will come forward and collect the cups. Parents, I encourage you to celebrate the new covenant at home sometimes with your family. Learn how to stay clean with each other, how to walk in forgiveness, how to admit your faults one to another, confess your sins to each other and to God, and receive His cleansing and His healing. Your hearts will grow stronger, your hearts will grow more pure, and your lives will get better and better and better. Well, let's close the service with Aaron's blessing. Can you stand up with family, with friends? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.